So we're in a series called Rooted, and last week we kind of looked at we have to have deep roots, and as our roots go deeper into Christ, then as our outside grows, it grows stronger and it's secure. And we talked about how some of the storms that we've seen here around our neighborhoods lately, we see the trees just pushed down. It's because the roots weren't connected. And we found out that these trees that look huge and look strong really were weak. So the Word of God is not just a book to study, but it is something for us to feast on. And so I want to ask you this morning, are you spiritually malnourished? So what are you feeding your soul? We charge our cell phones. I mean, my watch will tell me, it'll start vibrating and it'll say like, oh, you're down to 20%. Plug me in, you know, that kind of thing. And we plug up our phones. We plug in our stomach. I'm hungry. I'm going to snack or I'm going to go eat. We fill up our calendars. You know, we just constantly doing these things. And we live in an age of constant information. You can find out anything. Got questions? Go to Got Questions. They'll answer your questions. We have podcasts and devotionals and social media theology. There's YouTube preachers. There's all of these things that we could tap into, but yet we're suffering from spiritual starvation. There are a lot of spiritually malnourished Christians, I think, walking around. People who say they believe in God, and they do probably. They say they love Jesus, and they probably do, but they're running on empty. Why are we running on empty? We're exhausted, anxious, distracted, we're dry. And it's not because God has failed to speak. God is continually trying to speak to us through His Word, through situations, through nature. God is trying to speak to us. It's because we have stopped listening to God. We've traded some daily nourishment from God's Word to some like spiritual snacking. It's kind of like the grazing idea. You know, some people say, oh, that's how we should eat. That should be our diets. We should just kind of graze from this and graze to that. And all the way through the day, you should be grazing. And we need deep spiritual food. If we want to grow deep in Christ, we must be nourished by His Word. We don't need any more inspiration. We need nourishment. We don't need people's opinions or what you think. What we need is revelation from God. And the psalmist this morning shows us what it looks like to live deeply rooted and being fully nourished. He compares it to being like a tree that is planted by the streams of water. Father, I pray this morning that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, you know the story. Margie and I, we have a garden, and we grow several different things. And some things we're really, really good at growing, and some things it's like, come on, guys, you can do it. You can do it. It's not that I have a gray thumb. I just kind of, Sandra and I laugh about it. It's like if you bring us a plant, what we tend to do is send it on to a much better place. You know, we don't do it on purpose. I mean, who knows that, you know, like, oh, you got to water it. Okay, water. Oh, you too much water. I mean, there's so much stuff you've got to do, right? Same thing with our soul. If we want to be planted and we want to be rooted in Christ, something has to feed us. Something has to nourish us. Are you getting enough living water? Are you not getting enough? Are you getting too much? I don't think so. We're not being overwatered. We're not being overfed. We're being underfed, underwatered. So the psalmist, and I'm in Psalm 1, so if you want to open up your Bibles and look with me in Psalm 1, I'm going to be in chapter 1, and I am going to read the first three verses. It says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. First thing I want us to think about it that it says in here, are we starving? Are we getting good food? What are you feeding on? Psalm 1 begins not with what man does. It's what we should avoid. It shows two different paths. One path is saying, hey, this goes to life and fruitfulness. This side is emptiness and eventual ruin. You're going to dry up. You're going to wither. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. What's the counsel of the wicked? Well, you're either going to be shaped by the world's words or you're going to be nourished by God's words. There's no neutral ground here. Who is the counsel of the wicked? It could be social media. It could be the people around you. It could be society. It could be our culture. It could be all of these things that are trying to lead us away from God, that are trying to teach us different truths. And this is a warning from the psalmist here saying, don't be formed by the world's opinions. Don't listen to the world's voices. There are going to be hundreds and thousands of voices that are going to be calling out to you to act this way, to do these things, to be these kind of people. And the world is going to offer a consistent flood of opinions, entertainment, and values that erode truth. I remember growing up in the 60s, like the Dick Van Dyke Show. It's in black and white when I first started watching it, you know? Laura Petrie and Rob Petrie, they slept in separate beds. You know? It wasn't actually until the Flintstones, the cartoon came around, that the men and women were actually shown into the same bed, which kind of freaked out. I heard an interview by the lady in the Brady Bunch, the mom, Carol, you know, as Florence Henderson. She goes, I hated that we weren't the first ones and it was a cartoon instead of us. And it's like, well, wait a minute. That's kind of innocuous. You know, husbands and wives share the same bed. But before then, they didn't. And so now, we would expect to see a man and woman in bed. But not only that, you look at our TV and our culture and our movies and everything now, anybody can get into bed. And at first it was like, ooh, I can't believe they're doing that. To now it's like, okay, here's the gratuitous sex scene that's going to take place for the next 30 seconds. We expect it. Why? Because our morals are being eroded day in and day out. Because the world is telling us, hey, that's okay. If it feels good, do it. Do it. And if you listen to the world's voices, you're going to find yourself in all kinds of predicaments. Until it's too late and we cry out, God, save me. You know what? If your Bible is closed more than your apps are closed, then maybe you're listening to the wrong voices. You can't be nourished by God's words if your roots are continually soaking into worldly counsel. What you listen to is what's forming you. Is it Twitter? It's not Twitter anymore. What is Twitter? X. Is it X? Or is it the truth? Is it your Facebook? Or is it Christ? Is it fear that you're giving into? Or is it your faith? What are you being formed by? Because the world is going to try to pull you out. But it says, does not listen to the counsel of the wicked. The second thing, we are to delight in the word. We don't just read it. It says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. He doesn't just endure it. It's not just an obligation. It says he delights in it. There's this heart-level transformation that happens where God's word becomes desirable. I get to do this, not that I have to do this. It's something I enjoy doing. It's not a duty that I have to perform. The word of God is not just information, it's revelation. It's not just a textbook for us. It says it is living food, living bread for us to feast on. The psalmist in Psalm 119 says this, "How sweet are your words to my taste. It is sweeter than honey to my mouth." He goes on in verse 14. He says, "I rejoice in following your statutes, your laws, as one rejoices in great riches." Jeremiah writes, "When your words came, I ate them, and they were my joy and my heart's delight." I wanted to hear more. It's the idea of Mary and Martha, and Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, just feasting on everything that he's saying and being in his presence. And Martha is caught up in all the busyness, stuff that had to get done. Yes, it had to get done. But it was a distraction from the good news. It was a distraction of being in the presence of Jesus. It was a distraction. Oh, it was all good stuff. And there are good things that we do, but sometimes we have to stop doing some good things to be able to get to the best thing. If your Bible reading, if it feels dry, it's not because God stopped speaking. It's because we just stopped savoring. I know on my many years of weight loss journey and getting in shape and all of this crazy stuff, sometimes you'll read a book. It's like, okay, think of food not as something you enjoy, but just think of it as fuel for your body. You know, all you're doing is just putting in fuel. Well, man, that kind of ruins like any Italian food I ever had. I mean, because I want the spices. I want the taste. I want to enjoy what I'm eating. And that's what he's saying. The psalmist is here is we delight in his word. It's not just, okay, it's a snack that I have to do. Okay, it's time for me to fill up. It's time for me to break my fast. It's time for me to do whatever. It's not that at all. It is feasting and savoring God's word. Like a great meal. For our anniversary this year, Margie and I and Steve and Sandra, we went to this steak place that Steve had heard about and said, well, okay, we'll try it. And I'm telling you, the steak, just it melted in your mouth. It was just unbelievable. In fact, I couldn't even eat it all. You know, I took home a big old chunk. And what we did, we cut it up the next day and put it in some like nachos and stuff, and it was still as tender and still as good. Something I savored. And that's what the Word of God is. It's something that I can't get enough. I want that taste. I want to feast on that. I want it to bring excitement and truth to my life. And the more time I spend in the Word, the more I begin to crave His Word. And the less time I spend in the Word, the more I come back to it, and it's like a burden. When was the last time that the Word of God satisfied you more than turning on your television screen or scrolling? I would ask you to ask God to change your appetite. Maybe just start with 10 minutes. Start in the Psalms. Start in John. I don't care where you start. Just start. Pray, Lord, change my taste. Make my soul crave your words again. The third thing he says, the psalmist, is to meditate day and night. And to meditate is this digesting. It's not just kind of sampling. It says, and on his law, he meditates day and night. When I was studying the martial arts, one of the things that we had to do before we got started, we would kind of sit and you had to try to prepare yourself. And so there was this time of meditation and focus. And what you were trying to do was trying to empty your mind, get rid of all of the distractions and everything else. And the idea is if you have a cup and the cup is full, you can't pour anything into it. But if you pour the cup out, the cup is empty, then something can be poured into it. That's not what biblical meditation is. That's not the meditation God's talking about. God's not talking about emptying ourselves of anything. He's saying what we need to do is fill ourselves. In fact, the Hebrew to meditate means to murmur. It means to chew slowly. It means to mutter. It means to let it roll around in your heart. It means to chew on His word. That means you study a passage. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, and you chew on that. And God reveals how that truth happens to you. It's not fast food faith. It is the slow, sacred reflection when we get into His word. Joshua says this, keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Meditation is this bridge between just knowing the word of God and then being changed by it. You don't grow deep by reading quickly. You grow deep by lingering. Is there a verse that you're carrying around with you today or a promise? If you don't have God's word on your mind, then you will not have the strength in moments of temptation or trial. This world will beat you down. The next thing, it says that we are to be nourished roots, and that will bear lasting fruit. It says, He is like a tree that is planted by streams of water. So this is what happens when you're rooted in the Word. It says you bear fruit in season. That means even when things are slow, even though there may be a drought, maybe too much rain, maybe these kind of things, your growth is guaranteed because you will bear fruit in season when it's time. It means you don't wither. Means you can endure the heat or the pressure or the drought in your life. The times where you feel like, God, where are you? Are you hearing my prayers? It feels like it's just going to the ceiling and stopping. God, are you there? Am I alone? Does anybody care? You don't wither in those moments because you hang on to the Word of God and you are being nourished by that. It says you will prosper, not in riches, but in resilience, in this soul-deep, storm-proof strength that God gives you through His Word, that I'm able to bear all things. It's not always pleasant. Sometimes our journey is painful, but we are able to succeed and prosper because of God's Word. We're going to see the other side. One thing about that is we don't grow by striving. You don't bear fruit by just trying harder. You grow fruit and bear fruit by staying planted. Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Planted, not potted, not tossed, planted. The Word of God is the water that our soul was made to drink. We were not meant to wither. We were meant to thrive. We were meant to live lives that are examples to the rest of the world. But we cannot thrive if we are not nourished. Your plants, if you don't fertilize them, if you don't take care of them and tend them, they will die. And one thing that we didn't talk about today is actually in verse 4. And it's the danger of withering. This is what it says in verse 4. It says, the wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. When your life is not rooted in the Word, you're not just spiritually hungry. You're spiritually vulnerable. You open yourselves up for all kinds of trouble. You open the door for our enemy to come in. And who are our enemy? Well, it's our flesh, it's the world, and it's the devil. And all three will hit you. The winds of suffering will blow. It'll shake your faith. The lies of culture are going to twist the truth till you finally start scratching your head saying, I don't know what to believe anymore. The drought of discouragement comes and you feel like, I can't take another step. I can't go on. My life is miserable. And only those that are nourished by God's Word are going to be able to stand. So what's feeding you? You can't have the life that God wants for you apart from God's Word that He's given to us. We can go to church every week and we can still wither in our soul if we are not being nourished daily. So what are you rooted in? What are you feeding your heart and your mind? Are you delighting in the Word? Or are you distracted from His Word? Are you meditating on His Word? Or are you just kind of glancing and going through the motions? Are your roots deep? Or are you spiritually dry? The Word of God is not something that is optional for growth. It is the very stream, it says, where we were made to be planted beside. So don't just read the Bible. Let it read you. Let it nourish your roots until you bear fruit that last. So I want to encourage you this week, don't just open your Bible. Open your heart and let God's Word nourish your roots. Father, I pray that you would just continue to feed us. To feed us with your Word. Father, make us uncomfortable for the times that we just walk away to put you off till later. Father, make us uncomfortable so that we search out your truth. Father, help us to develop a hunger to feast on your Word, to delight in it, to love it. And those passages, Father, that are difficult, help us to chew on them. Help us to meditate on it. Reveal your truths to us through your Holy Spirit. And as always, Father, we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.